But when we start to have that feeling of, I won't want to do this because I don't want to be rejected, start to ask yourself, who am I focused on worrying about? Am I so worried about people rejecting me who will never be my clients anyway? And then in that case, am I rejecting myself, my dreams, my goals? And as long as you never choose rejection from yourself over anything else, you'll continue to move forward with your messaging and reach the people who are waiting to hear from you.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the honest truth of what it really takes to launch, grow, and accelerate your impact as a service-based entrepreneur. And today we are super fortunate to have the amazing Kim Walsh Phillips with us today. Kim is the founder and CEO of Powerful Professionals, a business coaching and education company. She has launched, grown, and sold companies. She went from 32 clients to over 11,000 in less than a year, making it one of the fastest growing companies in America, and was recently named number 475 in the Inc. 5000. She is named a must read by those in business by Forbes magazine. She is the best-selling author of multiple books, including The Shift, Scale Your Business and Multiply Your Wealth Without Sacrificing You. Like, who doesn't want that? And The Ultimate Guide to Instagram for Business and the No BS Guide to Direct Response Social Media Marketing, co-authored with Dan Kennedy. If you don't know Dan Kennedy, he is the father of direct response marketing. He is the most brilliant man about direct response marketing on the planet. She now co-hosts two of the top running business podcasts with American Idol season one alumni and 20-year entertainment veteran Justin Granari, and has been featured on Bravo's Below Deck. She is behind the scenes secret weapon of some of the biggest names in business, including Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, Dan Kennedy, and Profit First author Mike Michalowicz. All right, everyone. With that, let's give a big round of applause and a big welcome to Kim Walsh Phillips. Kim, welcome to Life After Corporate.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. Me too. So do tell us, do you have a Life After Corporate story? Were you once in the corporate world, and what led you to make the decision to leave?
I was in the corporate world. I actually started my internship in college was in a dental supply company called Dentsply, and it was in a conservative town that I went to college in, York, Pennsylvania. And anyone who came into the office thought I was the assistant to the office I was working in, and I was actually the PR person. And it was interesting, the automatic assumption that the woman sitting at the front desk works as an assistant role. So that was an eye-opener for me. And then I went from that position to corporate public relations for Rite Aid Corporation. And I ran their Mother's Day mammogram program, where we gave mammograms to women who couldn't afford them. And that was an amazing program. But I was there while our CEO was indicted. And I saw how politics could rip apart the corporate culture. I also saw that the CEO took all of the employees' parking so he could land his helicopter there. And also terrible work-life balance, what I thought was the women around me. And it turned me off from the corporate culture. I knew that that wasn't going to be right fit for me in my life. I went from there to the nonprofit space. So I went a complete 180 and eventually was asked to do some consulting work for some people that I had met along the way. And that's how I started my business.
Fantastic. What a great story. And I think many of our listeners are going to relate to that because, you know, the corporate world is not necessarily friendly to women and cultural conditioning, certainly toxic workplace, patriarchal cultures, all of that lead to women making the decision to lean out more than leaning in, more than ever, especially now. Share with us a little bit about the lessons learned. You know, I think many women who are making this decision to leave corporate grossly underestimate what's required to be successful because you're smiling. You have a specific expertise in your subject matter, but you've never launched a business before. And that kicks up all sorts of stuff, you know, on a personal level, doubt, fear, confusion, not knowing what you're doing, feeling like an imposter on the emotional level. But then on the very practical level, how do you get clients? How do you get business? How do you grow your impact? And how do you replace that corporate paycheck? So if you're speaking to women who are just getting started on this journey, what is the most critical advice that you would give them on how to build up a sustainable practice?
I was very fortunate that I had someone come to me who said she wanted me to do consulting work and she thought I should own a business. She wanted to be my first client. It was amazing. And so I was running the public relations for our healthcare system at the time. And I would work with clients on my lunch break. I would take lunch break an hour later than everyone else. So I would have it at a time where clients could be not on lunch. I would set working times in the evening. So I didn't do spare time. I did set time. I would use my vacation days. So I started to grow a client base while I still had my corporate job. And I think that's a really great thing for those that can. I think sometimes people think that they are chickening out by doing it that way. But I looked at my corporate job as giving me a business loan. I was utilizing those funds. And when I had replaced them with enough clients, I was planning on leaving. Now, I was outed for my business before I gave notice. It was on the front page of the paper because I received the city as one of my accounts. And a reporter got word of it and put it as a front page story that I was taking on all the marketing and events for the city that we were in. I guess it was a slow news day. So my boss walked into my office with the paper to say, I guess you're leaving. And it worked out well because they said, you can go now and we'll pay you for the next 4 weeks. So I actually had a 4 week window of getting paid to work on my business. But that was an interesting moment. Definitely burned a bridge there that maybe should not have been burned. But from a perspective of clients and building clients, here's the thing that I didn't understand before that I wish I would have known. The best thing to do is not rely upon one-on-one conversations. I think we look back to political, you know, alliances within the corporate space, and we're used to creating relationships and asking people who they know and making connections that way. But we can never create a sustainable, scalable business if we rely upon one-on-one conversations to get more clients. It is the least effective thing we can do. What we want to do instead is things that leverage our expertise that can work for us while we sleep. So one of the first things I recommend that you do is that you literally go to ChatGPT or answerthepublic.com and find out what people are looking for, what questions they have in your space, and create one quick video that you are sharing some tips and strategies. And simply at the end of the video, you say, and if you'd like more information, I'd love to be able to share it with you. Create a tool that you could share with those people that you would normally have those conversations with so that they have something they can actually use to leverage for you. You can post it on social media and literally say, hey, would you mind sharing this? And just putting, hey, my friend Kim has started a business doing XYZ thing. If you're in need of this, let me know. I'll connect you. That is going to get you so much more than just going to people and asking who they know that could become a client.
That's great advice. So yeah, many people, when they first get started, do rely on those warm referrals from their network. But what you don't realize is those warm referrals run dry over time. They get new jobs, they leave the industry, they retire. And you need to have a way, and content is the best way to stand out in the feed. But people get paralyzed. It's like, I don't know what to say. And I know you just said go to ChatGPT. And I think that's a great resource to put in a prompt about, here's the audience, here's who we're talking to. Write me a video script, a 1 minute video script on this topic. But here's the thing, Kim, and I want to know how you feel about this. I think most of the content on most of the news feeds is just boring. I mean, aside from those that really stand out and they stop the scroll, most of the time people are just sharing blah, 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 blah. So I know content needs to work for you. So how do you make your content more effective so that your followers become clients?
Content is never boring to me if it's answering a question that I have right now. So the more specific you make your content and stop trying to make it for quote unquote everybody, the better it will be. That's why I like using a resource like answerthepublic.com to say, what questions are people asking? Same thing with ChatGPT. I don't want to just come up with content. I want to know what specific questions are people asking online right now about my topic. And then I'll answer those specific questions. Give me an example. I'll have a question as specific as, I have a video just answering, should I use my picture as my profile for my business page on Facebook, or should I use my logo? That is a very specific question. Most people are not going to watch that video. They don't care. But my Right Fit person absolutely cares about the answer to that question. And so you want to be thinking about who's your person. Now, here's where we get into something that's one of my greatest passions to talk about, because it's something that I still struggle with to this day, but I find it stops a lot of people from growing their successful business, is that we're so scared about rejection. We will do anything to not have the feeling of rejection. And so we are often limiting our message from going out there, because what if somebody doesn't like it? And what if they don't like me? And what if they think I'm a fraud? And those are all super normal feelings. So if you have them, be like, I'm super normal that I feel this way. We were given those desires in our bodies on purpose so we would be part of a pack. So we wouldn't get eaten by the bear. So we would be protected from the cold as a culture together. And when we didn't have shelter, like, those are things that are super normal that we feel that way. But when we start to have that feeling of, I won't want to do this because I don't want to be rejected, start to ask yourself, who am I focused on worrying about? Am I worried about, so worried about people rejecting me who will never be my clients anyway? And then in that case, am I rejecting myself, my dreams, my goals, right? And if we start to look at it that way, it actually takes the temperature down. When I go through that scenario, I'm like, oh, I get nauseous when I think about rejection. I'll stop being nauseous. I start feeling empowered. I do get a little teary eyed. Like, I get the little tears behind the eyes still, because I realize this cycle, and I'll go through the whole thought process and then I'll do it anyway. So that way I still feel that way. I'm still nervous. I still want them to like me. I'm still nervous. I just had a call right before we got on here for a new offer that we have. Justin, Lorraine, and I partnered on a business. And when nobody was on there 1 minute before we started, I still had that feeling like, oh my gosh, what if they don't like us? What if they're not showing up? It's like the kid, what if they come by my birthday party? But we showed up anyway. And during the call, people trickled in. Like, so we make those conscious decisions. Who am I most scared about being rejected from? And as long as you never choose rejection from yourself over anything else, you'll continue to move forward with your messaging and reach the people who are waiting to hear from you.
That's such a beautiful point. And I'm so glad you brought it up, because mindset trumps skill set in many, many instances. And we all feel the fear, because there's nothing in your past experience that has equipped you for this brand new journey. Most of us arrive without a roadmap, at least without an emotional roadmap.
Yeah.
And it's so important to feel the fear and acknowledge it. And I love that you have so much self-compassion for yourself, that you talk yourself through this. Everyone, take notes on that. Rewind, re-listen to what Kim just said. Because this is just going to save you so much heartache later. So we're going out there, we're developing content, we're getting past the emotional blocks that prevent us from developing the content that we want to put out there, and getting past the fear of judgment and rejection by others. How do you really build a community? How do you build a following? And then what is the best practice for how to turn that following into actual paying clients in your experience?
For you to be lifted up as an expert and authority, which is what you want, because you want people coming to you, asking to work with you, who are ready to enroll with you. You don't want to convince anyone. You don't want to chase after them. None of that feels good. We all want to be the one whose dance card is full with people who want us on the dance floor, right? That's what we want. And so how do we do that? Narrowing in on our expertise into one big idea that your target market wants, and then talking about it ad nauseum. you're going to get sick of it, but your marketing is not to fascinate you. Your marketing is to fascinate your market. And so we come up with one big idea, one outcome that you want to accomplish, and you create a four-step approach to that outcome. I like to apply an acronym to it because that then makes it my own proprietary system. And then I just talk about it all the time. So the thing I recommend that you do upfront is that you create a free course, because the word course has intrinsic value. We're used to paying for a course. So if we offer it for free, people feel like they're getting something of value, which if it's a free report or a checklist, like, we're like, you're getting this for free. Of course, mm-hmm. we pay for it. So we call it a course. We make a Zoom video. We just use that as the program. We might download some slides. That becomes the free gift. You then are going to use the app called video.ai. You're going to take that Zoom video, upload it to video.ai, and it's going to cut it and make it into social media posts for you. It's going to put captions on it. It's going to find your greatest highlight reel. You're then going to take those individual videos and you're going to run them on Facebook and Instagram. Now, if you don't have a big following, you're probably going to have to spend a few dollars to promote those posts to your right fit clients, your target market that you're going after. But I have a hack. You can use LinkedIn to get your right fit clients for free. You don't have to spend any money on LinkedIn advertising. You can literally run an automated campaign using a software called Drippify that goes after your right fit clients. It offers them that you have this free course. Would they like a copy of it? Don't put the link in Drippify. You don't want to automatically spam people. You're just asking if they would like it. And then everybody you connect with via Drippify, you get into a lead list. They actually gave you their name, their email, their phone number, all the things. You can download that lead list, upload it to Facebook, and promote those videos just to that audience. So now you're never wasting a dollar on a single lead that's not qualified to meet with you. When you do that, every person who watches your videos on Instagram and Facebook is being put into a small little audience that you can go back to later on. So you're not trying to waste money dropping a drop of ink in an ocean. You're literally creating your own micro audience of people who will see you as an expert, because the way you're showing up is this expert content that's based on your own system. You're now showing up in their newsfeed regularly with the same content. They start to see you all the time. They get to know you. They think you're the celebrity, you're the party, you're the expert. Now your next call to action is, do they want to book a call with you? Do they want to come on a masterclass with you? Do they want to take advantage of an upcoming event? You've created the interest and desire and celebrity and authority on autopilot, something that won't require you to take a single other person out to lunch and ask them, is there anybody you know who would want to work with me? You never have to say that again. You're creating that desire on your own.
That was golden. You just dropped tools that I had never heard of before that I've been like asking for. Oh, I wish there was some way to upload video content and have it chopped into little social media posts. Yeah. So that's fantastic. Thank you so much. That was super generous. And I hope everyone rewinds and takes notes on that and goes and implements. All right. So now we're in the growth phase, right? So we are expanding our impact, expanding our visibility, converting more clients onto our email list so that we can have these one-to-many conversations and not waste our time in one-to-ones. How do you scale that? You went from, what was it, 32 clients to 11,000? How does that work? And what was some of the growing pains that you went through at that stage of your business growth?
I went from working for someone else to hating working for myself. I had my marketing agency and I worked around the clock. I had no free time. The first time I took time off is when I had my first daughter and my business started falling apart because my business was based on me working myself to the bone. And when that happened, that's when I first discovered Dan Kennedy and direct response marketing. And I started applying those strategies to digital marketing that my business took off. And I then started getting all these celebrity clients, and which was amazing. But again, I'm getting paid more. I have money now, but I'm still working around the clock. And there was this one night I was putting my daughters to bed and I just kind of called up to God and said, you know, could you freeze time? I don't want to miss them growing up. And I heard a little whisper back that said, I don't need to freeze time, Kim. You need to be more present. And I was like, oh, snap. Like I was justifying. Yeah, I was justifying everything. Like I'm doing good work and I am finally making things work and I could do things that could help people. But I always knew in the back of my mind, like, I was meant for more. I was meant to serve more, impact more. But I was so scared to let go of what was basically a salary, a paycheck, which was this recurring client revenue. And when I finally just like made the decision, okay, it's yours, God, like whatever's going to happen, I'm ready for this next step. I got 3 offers for my company in 1 week. Within 90 days, I'd sold my firm. I didn't have to do consulting work in it because I built this system during that time that changed it. And what this worked as, I'd contact them via social media in an ad. They'd be invited to a webinar. On the webinar, they had 2 options to work with us. 1, they could buy a course. 2, they could become a client. And this automated lead generation and sales system made my company skyrocket and took me the need for me to be in the business out. So I was able to sell that company. I took the money we got from selling it. I took my whole team of 17 on a cruise with their families. And I took the rest of the money and used it to buy leads for my new business. And we just created the same campaign, but instead of doing one-on-one services, it was just offering people a course and group coaching. Everything was going to be done in group. There was going to be no one-on-one, and it was going to be a scalable model. And I was also going to stop doing anything that wasn't in my zone of genius or I didn't love doing. And the same thing for my team. It was my second company, like my second marriage. I'm like, I could do it the way I want to do it. So it was amazing. And in 1 year, I had my marketing agency for 22 years. In 1 year, my coaching business, I tripled the revenue we ever made in my consulting business. And within 3 years, that's when we landed on the Inc. 5000, meaning we did over $2 million in revenue and one of the fastest growing companies in the United States of America. And I got my time back. I had less team than I ever had in my agency, and we had a whole lot more clients. And it was something that I did not think was possible, but I kept thinking, instead of we can't, how can we? And this is the thing I'll tell you. Start with one thing you're currently doing one-on-one right now that's requiring your energy and attention and say, how could I create this in a systematized approach that's automated? Probably first is marketing. Then it's sales. Then it's going to be delivery of service. When you can layer these things in one after the other, you can conceptualize how can you take your zone of genius and scale it in a way that allows you to do it once and get paid for it over and over again.
Yeah, amazing. So I have a few questions for you on that, because we see that people, at least in my world, I'm seeing people's consumption of passive do-it-yourself kind of courses has gone down, that people are wanting more interaction, more engagement in a live room. Are you seeing that at all?
I haven't seen it go down. There will always be new people who will consume course. We build live interactive features into everything that we do because people need help and guidance on how things can be personalized for them. So there's a few ways you can do that. One is if you create a course, the first time you teach it live, use the recordings as the course that allows Q&A to be part of the course. And then you're going to be able to answer some questions people have that you didn't think of. And it'll make it better and more fulfilled for people in the future. I also do a live Q&A once a month for people who take our courses so they could submit questions and we can answer them that way. Our group coaching programs, I have live Q&A twice a month. So they can submit for coaching at any time. And then we'll also do things like you could submit questions and I'll create a Loom and answer them that way. We'll do live implementation. I do these 2-day workshops and I'm working with people to build out a book a call funnel that generates leads of qualified clients. And we'll work with everybody at the same time live, but I'm able to help 30 something people create a marketing funnel all at one time, where that would be 30 separate client accounts in the future. So you can always give them that live interactivity. You just want to make sure you're not building your system that it needs to be one-on-one to make it work.
Absolutely. If you're only one-on-one, you'll cap your time, you'll cap your income, and cap the number of people you can actually impact with your work. So I'm a huge fan of group programs. Huge fan of group programs. The question was really, do people really do the DIY anymore? So, you know, it's interesting. Some will go for the low end and do it yourself. And I think if you can create a services value ladder where you're growing with people as they're growing and you're anticipating what their next needs are, then you can keep people longer. And when you have a base where you're retaining a good portion of the clients that you have, then that helps accelerate the growth as well.
It does. And I have a lot of clients who are just really busy And so they want to have a program that they can do in their own time. And so I think giving people that choice too is really important.
Yeah, interesting. What were some of the challenges that you ran into? Because I'm sure you didn't build this all on your own. As you expanded and you added team to the program, what were some of the challenges that you experienced at the scaling stage of accelerating your impact through adding more people to the team?
Well, we downsized because I didn't need as many as I did in the agency. I did take with me my assistant and my COO for my other business, who started with me as an intern, was a marketing associate, ran my agency. She's now my chief operating officer, and she has been for years now. And she's so detail-oriented. So I let her do her job. That's the secret to that one. I'm not detail-oriented at all. And I would have sunk the ship a long time ago if I was made responsible for managing those pieces. But she doesn't try to do the marketing because that's not her strength. Mm-hmm. So we work really well together in that way. She manages the team. She can identify team needs well. We base all of our needs on the team based on the DISC personality profile. We hire based on their DISC assessment, not on their skill set, not on their past experience, because what we found is if you're the right match for what our needs are in the DISC profile, you're going to be able to do the job well. And we don't make exceptions because whenever we did, it did not turn out well. And a lot of our team has come to us because they were in our community or they knew me because of my books and my writing and actually had reached out and wanted to work with us at some point. And we had them on a list of people that we could eventually work with. And so they're fully bought into the purpose of the business, which is basically to eradicate burnout and people sacrificing their health and spiritual and family lives to grow a business. As we know, you can have an empire business and a lifestyle business at the same time. And they are all bought into that philosophy.
That's beautiful. Kim, before we wrap up this conversation, I would love to hear from you. What is the biggest thing you've learned about yourself on this journey?
It's a pretty recent lesson. I, for a long time, held this belief that I was created to be there for others who need to be saved. And that I was meant to, the reason why I went and got my life coach certification to help my business coaching clients so I could help them solve all the things. And I do believe that that is true, but it's not for the detriment of my joy. And that was the second part of the piece that I needed to fully understand and align with, that I can build a business based on serving others that still allows me to serve me. And when I uncovered that, it's uncomfortable because it requires you to make some decisions that not everyone in your life is going to be happy with. But when you do that, you can actually live the life of purpose you were always meant to live. So if things feel dark or uncomfortable or incredibly hard, I want to say there's a better way to do that that can bring you joy every single day.
Yeah. The feeling of hard means something's not working in your business or in your mindset. And Kim, it's been so great to have you on the show because, you know, I appreciate how much you shared about the spiritual part of entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship is a spiritual journey. You know, wherever you go, there you are. And suddenly you're faced with all of the stuff that you've brought with you up until this point that really needs to be cleared if you're to step into the she you're meant to be and to make the impact that you're meant to make. So how can our listeners stay in contact with you? Is there something they can download or a podcast they can listen to?
Yeah, well, I have three names, which helps you find me because I'm only one that is Kim Walsh Phillips. If you look that up anywhere, you'll find me. And then I have a podcast with Justin Guarini called The Scale Fast Podcast. We have a lot of fun on it and we share actionable, practical advice on how to scale your business. And we'd love for you to tune in.
I'm definitely going to tune in. I'll be subscribing right after we hit end on this recording. Thank you so much, Kim. Everyone, I hope you got great benefit out of the wisdom that Kim dropped with you today. Listen again, take notes, follow Kim, listen to the podcast, and we'll see you next time on Life After Corporate. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.